Blog Talk Radio.
I thank it for me. Yes, I am. Ring bang dana da, dang dana da. Tell me, a revolution. Revolution, dang 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 dang. Check me. Some hardcore people down from out and them a make big speech, but poor people the food not reach. I'm enough to wonder how them really sleep. Them living in the pool while the poor are feeling heat. Red country, why it's red country, why? The ghetto part of town, you ain't nothing but a victim. We're just trapped in a political system. There ain't no one to tell it alone. If you hit the big man a gunshot, them broke your bone with stone. Why? So a revolution, yeah. I'm on site a revolution coming in a Babylon land, yeah. A revolution. Government, what is your aim? Where is the plan? Where is the future for the younger generation? If there's no light at the end of the tunnel, well, come your son, I go red like hell. For man, the peas are cooked, but the rice can't well. So no more big speech. Time to come action. Crime and the violence rampant in our nation. People say it's because of separation. There's got to be a revolution, yeah. What a hot revolution, wriggling in a Babylon land, yeah. A revolution, yeah. Guns, knives and cutlass revolution. Dang da da dang, dang da da bang. All you false leaders, I brand you as traitors. Nothing but poor mongers, idol worshippers, them a sorcerers. Yo, you better come down off of your pumpkin pride. Stop taking poor people for a joyride. Cause all you teach is to divide and rule, and I use the people then with your political tool. Just fool, sure. Cause a revolution, yeah. We're going to see the revolution. Ring dang da da ding, dang da da ding. A revolution, yeah. What a hot a revolution. Ding da dang da dang da dang. No matter how them a come out and a kidnap them teeth, yet the poor man the food not reach. Tell them all to practice what they preach. Cause I don't want to see them all a pagan preach. Whoa, cause a revolution, yeah. I'm on site for revolution. Ring dang da da dang da da. A revolution.
Greetings and welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, we have it again, another high-profile shooting. You know, I don't want to go ahead and belittle all the other so-called low-profile shootings. I mean, like, yeah, I live in Chicago, so there's some shit happening every fucking day. So we can't overlook them either. And a lot of them being committed by people who look just like them. We really need to deal with that, so I'm going to spend some time on that at another date. But we need to get motivated because the individual shot this young man, Jordan Davis, looked like us. We got to deal with that. Stop pussyfooting around. Stop playing fucking games with these fucking people. Start looking within yourself to go ahead and create something, build something, motherfuckers. I'm really, really pissed off at this shit because I don't see a lot of us doing shit. Just keep talking in circles, and arguing about bullshit. How's that going to change your fucking situation? How's that going to make you come out on top? How's that going to make it safer for your kids, your friends, your family, your mother, your father, your grandparents, aunts, uncles, people who can't fucking do for themselves? Stop arguing about that bullshit. This young man was shot. Killed. Because he was listening to music. Music is our thing. We have taken that music to another level. Allow individuals to go ahead and take it from us. But this young man was listening to music. He spoke up, said something, and the guy was after him hunting. Like you fucking hunt a wild dog. That is fucking like a wild animal. This guy, it's a problem. This guy really, really needs his fucking testicles cut off. That's some crazy shit. We need to recognize that. There's a lot of things disturb me about that situation. It keeps happening in Florida. I don't think that's the fucking place I want to go to. Fuck that. I had better things to do with my time, and I don't spend my money with motherfuckers who hate me. Spend my money with motherfuckers who I can get a better deal out of it. I go buying bullshit. But what was this young man doing? He didn't do nothing. He went out shopping. Buying this shit. Another reason I say we need to go ahead and develop our own stuff. Put us in fucking jeopardy. There's a lot of things that disturb me about that. I think I can't go ahead and say which ones is worse. On either side. You know, even with his mom was saying, you know, I don't think he was racially motivated. What the f***? That shit, that really, ugh, that irked the fuck out of me. Trayvon Martin's mother was saying something like that, too. I mean, wait a minute now. Come on. She had already heard Trayvon Martin's mother already heard the 911 dispatcher. And what Zimmerman was saying, yes, this is racially motivated. Let's stop pushing this shit under the rug. My topic of my show is, what have you learned? Why haven't you learned anything? Stop fucking denying what the shit that's out there in your face. These motherfuckers hate you. They hate you with a passion. One way to hurt these motherfuckers is to go ahead and start developing your own shit, build your own stuff. Stop shopping with these motherfuckers who don't like you. That's crazy to me. I tell people about near my mom's house, at the corner where she lives, there's a Korean-owned hair store. A lot of times when I pull up, and it was a lot of times. I mean, a lot. I see people standing outside yelling, cussing, and screaming at the Koreans who own the shop. You got the power right in your hands. Why are you buying this shit? Power is that money. Stop buying this shit so they can close up shop. Put up your own stuff. I came across a brother a few years ago who was going ahead and explained to me how to go ahead and make some of these hair care products, and it was just simple. He wasn't a fucking chemist. He didn't have a whole lot of training. Shit, he just saw a few people do it, and he started doing it. He's selling a lot of shit out the back of his goddamn car in his trunk. So, but we need to learn from this situation. But it's not so much, you know, we know what's going on. It's been happening for years. When are you going to stand up and do something about it? till it affects you, till it hits you, till it hits your house? Keep running from the fucking truth? I don't do no baby talk. I ain't got no goddamn time of it for it. You know, if that's what you're looking for, sorry, this is the wrong goddamn spot. Babies are dying out here. Can't deny that. No more time for baby talk. It's time for action. It's time to do some shit. Get up off your ass and start getting involved. Find the organizations in your area that's trying to do something. You may have to go ahead and fish through a few of them. A lot of people out here for some silliness. I ain't for that. I'm doing my own thing. In a little while, I'll be putting it out there, letting people know what I'm involved in, what I'm doing. I had a situation here recently where I had to go to court. I was suing somebody, nothing criminal. So I'm suing some of this civil thing here. And I lost. Over some minor shit. It's kind of hard to fight them with their rules and their game. It's going to be difficult, an uphill battle. It's just hard to do that. So, one of the reasons is because we don't have a lot of tools to learn their game. That's one thing I'm about. Go ahead and learn this game, but then you can take it over. We see that in a whole lot, mostly in sports. You can do that in sports, man, physically. I mean, you can put your mind, you can put your mind in the right track and, hey, we can take over this game. So, we got a lot of work ahead of us. There's a lot of people out here trying to do things. Their voice is not being heard. I'm going to spend some time here the next few weeks going ahead and bringing them voices out here, especially in my area. So I'll come right back, take a break. I don't like to run my mouth too much. I'm a little pissed about some shit, but got to maintain.
Hey, love. I see my mama by the ready cousin on the Sunday. It was the best to do with these four from a rainstorm. Right before my eyes, another road boy gets saved from another gunplay. Oh. And it's the teaching that he provides, the slaying of so much lies. But still, steep naked fools wanna go their way. There is some rude boys hanging in the alley, and if you pass them, they say you're lucky. The trigger happy one of proven skills, they give him joke. Gangsters are living high, like they wanna touch the sky. They don't care if another man leave or another man die. Who takes the life, don't bother living. Takes the life, don't bother living. But this is like a winter close, I know everyone is feeling so. Somebody don't treat me. Oh, hear me now. Don't be gone now. Gone daddy. Gone daddy. What kind of world I'm living in? Confusion, illusion, delusion. And that's not what we want for the younger generation. You have a one on your jigger happy, and a one like you a jan daddy. One a chucky, one a bossy, don't you brother in a dopey. Take the life, don't bother living. Take the life, don't bother living. That body is like a sister clothes, and anyone is being told. Take the life, don't bother living. So many don't be thinking. Hey, go study, you are.
Greetings. Welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. This thing here with Joan Davis, you know, I just feel that, hey, look, you know, this is just one of the ones that's just being put out there. You know, this is one of the ones the media is going ahead and handling and going ahead and toying with it. So, the media is just going ahead and playing games, trying to go ahead and make money. You know, they don't really give a damn. Ain't nobody going to do nothing. So it's like, they put the information out there and then, we're not getting riled up enough. I think maybe one of the reasons we're not getting riled up enough for going ahead and really trying to do something about this and make some proper demands, because we got these people who are speaking on our behalf. I really think it's time we go ahead and throw some bricks at these cats, man. I mean, really. I mean, the Jessies and the Al Shoptons and the Cornel West and any other, what is that other weak-ass bastard, Ben Jealous and NAACP. They're not speaking on my behalf. They're not saying what I feel. And I know a lot of people feel the same way I do. They're not talking for me. They're not speaking for me. They're speaking from a position of, hey, look, let's go ahead and kiss ass so I can continue to get paid. We got too many bootlicking ass niggas out here, man. That's just sad. Real fucking sad. So, what is it that we can do? Go ahead and not let this shit keep on happening. You know, a lot of people got to let their guards down. You got to go ahead and let your beliefs and your other ideology stay at the fucking door and come into the room and less dialogue. Just deal with what you see in the mirror, your blackness, your Africanness. And nothing else matters. That's why that young man was shot. Because he was black in America. Let me play this. This is reference to that.
All of America, all of America, on Friday evening, go to any big city, and you'll see blacks lined up and get into Chinatown to go to China, eat some Chinese food. Have you ever seen Chinese lined up trying to get into a black town? Somebody is not playing with a full deck. You're not playing the game to win. You're just playing. And you got to stop spending your money. So then I go to various cities, and blacks got the nasty habit, when company comes, putting them in their car on a Sunday and taking them out to the white community and say, let me go out and show you some nice white homes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Let's go out to look at the white malls. And then they come back home and say, how in the world can white folk afford all those fine homes and big houses? It's easy. It's your money. You see what I'm saying? And y'all think I'm teasing. See, they're living off of two incomes. They live off 100% of their income and 95% of yours. And you're trying to live off of 2%. It is humanly impossible for a race of people to live off of 2% of their income. And in America, you equate human worth based on what you own. And if black folks don't own 2%, that's why white racists say, black folk ain't worth 2 cents. Because we don't own anything, and human worth is equated in this country based on what you own and control. And we violate all the premises of economics. We have yet to learn how to practice group economics. And the last thing about integration is that integration got a quota system, and you need to know this. It's got a quota system. You hear white somebody against quotas, they're wrong. It's got a quota system. Anytime you get more than 5 to 8% of blacks involved in anything, whites are going to put up chain. They're going to stop you. If more than 5 to 8% of blacks move into their community, they're going to put their house up for sale. If more than 5% of blacks, 8% of blacks go into their schools, they're going to pull their kids out of school. If more than 5 to 8% of blacks come into their businesses, they're going to move the business out of town, cross town, out of the country. If more than 5 to 8% of blacks come into their association, they'll resign. They got a quota system. And people say, well, blacks are against affirmative action. No, they're not against affirmative action. against affirmative action for you. You see, whether it gets a set aside, racism is nothing but preferential treatment for whites. They say they're against preferential treatment. You hear them say they're against set aside. Jim Crow is nothing but a 100-year set aside program for whites. So they set aside the best restaurants, the best food, the best schools for whites. They say they're against quotas. You got a quota system, I told you, in the immigration laws. Today, you still are a planned minority. You can't win. So now let me get to some solutions for you very quickly. I have a few more minutes I got left. What we're going to do across this country now is we're going to call Powernomics. That's a new book coming out called Powernomics, Unleashing Black American Potential. It's a follow-up to the book, Black Labor, White Wealth. It'll show you in very specific terms what you got to do to be competitive. The things you got to focus on is in broad categories with specific principles. The first is a community. You cannot do anything unless you have a community. Your community is your social cohesiveness. The only power, the potential that black people have in America is your social, racial cohesiveness. If you don't have that, you have no power. Forget about everything else. That's a fact of life. You got to have a community because the community will give you your businesses. It'll give you your sales opportunities and your markets. Now, how do you develop communities? The first thing you must do is stay out of all cross-purpose issues. Cross-purpose means horizontal issues. Don't get involved in any horizontal issues. Let me explain it to you. I see the puzzlements in your eyes. First, racism is vertical. Remember this. Racism is straight up and down. Racism means I don't care whether you are the lowest income black or the highest, the best educated or the least educated. It doesn't make any difference. You're all in the same tube. Okay? That's what Malcolm X was asking. What is a black man with a PhD? Remember that saying? He answered, well, he's still a Negro. Okay? It means it doesn't make any difference. You're all in it together. That's straight up and down. Horizontal issues are any issue that pertains to everybody. Stay out of it. You're the weakest and poorest, most vulnerable people. Don't get involved in it. Because the only people that can benefit are those people who are directly behind where the horizontal crosses the vertical. Okay? The only people who benefit are where those two points cross. That's too small. You don't have that kind of energy and resources to waste. Now, what's a horizontal issue? Sexism is a horizontal issue. When you get into these various religious issues, that's a horizontal issue. Poverty is a horizontal issue. I keep telling some of my civil rights leaders, stay away from poverty. You cannot eradicate poverty. Poverty is a fix. It's a given. You're always going to have poor people. And people say, well, you're going to have poor Greeks, poor Indians, poor Lithuanians, poor Hungarians. Quit trying to eradicate poverty and try to get as many black folk as you out and leave poverty alone. But they try to eradicate something that can't be eradicated. Culturalism. That's a horizontal issue. That it pertains to everybody. Let me give you about sexism, for instance. I tell black women who always want to get into sex issues, they think that somehow that the issue is sex rather than racism. See, my great-grandmother was not enslaved because she's a woman. She was enslaved because she was black. Okay? And if you're going to get into sexism, I want black women to understand this, to keep your priorities in order. If I say abracadabra right now and sexism disappeared, you still can't go any place because you're black. And to keep it in order, remember what your mother felt. The minute she knew she was pregnant, she knew at that moment she was going to have what? A black child long before she knew the sex. So you keep your priorities straight and say, since my color came before my sex, I'm going to keep it in that order. You always say black first. So stay out of those cross-purpose issues, and I'll explain all the next time I come back out here on a Powernomics workshop or something. But that's very important. I can show you all the problems you got with that. And see, but once you stay out of those horizontal issues, like I tell some of my Muslim friends, I said, don't be worried about pushing Islamic faith. Push your skin color first and stay aligned with your people. And I tell them, the people in the Baptist church, quit worrying about being a Baptist and worry about being black. And again, I have to give credit to your minister. It seems like he's one of the few in the country who understands that. That you put who you are and as a people before you start talking about what denomination you belong to. And especially since most of the denominations on the earth all work together to enslave black folk. All of them pimp and hustle black folk. The Catholics, the Protestants, the Baptists, the Jews, and everybody else got black folk. But what we're going to do then is start, once we get past building these communities, then we're going to start getting into what we call practicing, building alternative economics.
Okay, I was a little slow. I was a little slow. But I played that for a reason. And I love listening to Dr. Claude Anderson, his book on Powernomics. I read most of it. I didn't read the whole thing. I ain't gonna lie. But that video says a lot. So if you go ahead and YouTube that, the Dr. Claude Anderson, Powernomics, look at that video 100 times. Because some of the things that he was saying pertains to what's going on, and we need to go ahead and create something for ourselves. And you go ahead and one of the things he was saying was, hey, look, you were born black before you was born anything else. That's why I said leave all that bullshit outside. So another brother that was saying this, and this video was put out some time back. Can't go ahead and keep on thinking that you're going to be part of these groups, Christian, Muslim, whatever, and it's going to go ahead and deal with black issues. We still going to have them issues unless we start to go ahead and deal with that. I live in Chicago here. One of the politicians here, one of the federal-level politicians, state federal representative, is here in Chicago, Gutierrez. And he was saying, hey, look, you know, hey, it's time for you to go ahead and give us some shit. You know, he's representing Latino people. So he's making some demands. It's time to go ahead and pay up. You know, they helped Obama get there. It's time to pay up. And that was one thing I was wanted to get into telling somebody earlier that, hey, look, we ain't going to get nothing unless we got that financial backing, which we need to go ahead and build a financial base for ourselves, then we can make some demands. Right now, you can't go to these people for shit because you're coming on your fucking knees and they don't want to hear you. They're going to stick sausage in your mouth and keep it moving. Get out of here. We don't want to hear shit you got to say. Fuck on. So we need to basically create more businesses that will give us leverage. I can understand why I see so many black people going ahead and buying so much material shit, fantasy shit. You know, and they ain't putting nothing back in the hood. And then wonder why, you know, you can't go to so-and-so's house because the nigga's shooting on the corner. Can't go to so-and-so because can't go to go visit such-and-such because you worry about getting your car broken into. Motherfucker, get involved. Do something. Shit, don't fucking, you know, if you're going to complain, do something about it. I think that's one of the first steps to go ahead and do something is getting pissed off. Well, if you're going to complain, then you ain't pissed off. You just complain just to fucking complain. That's it. I'm sick of hearing that. So, I want to hear that shit, because once I hear that shit, it makes me want to fucking explode. Excuse me. I need to run something right quick and get something to drink real fast. I'm having some problems. But listen to this. This also pertains to that, you know, Trayvon Martin being killed, and then the brother who was going ahead raped by the New York City police.
From the slave ship to the chain, from the taskmaster's whip to my brain, kidnapped, enslaved, raped, and killed by the Lynch clan again and again. Is it the origin of the skin or the face of a race? Why you don't care about me?
Now I know you don't care about me. I'm just a nigga walking down your street. The brother did nothing wrong, but now his life is gone. So I know you don't care about me. Put a silence you say. Yet your actions speak so loud and clear. The allos killer going prepaid by society. Now I know you don't care about me.
Hey, we should be burning and losing, believe me. Start exchange 41 to 90. Our ancestors were the lead countries under sticks and whips and kicks and punches. Meanwhile, you're living like some Brady Bunches. Tell me where the justice, much less the sanctions. We're worth much more than the drinking taxes. I don't need one dollar.
Racing, touch, kill, and maim. Their injustice remains the same.
survival is to be accepted and treated as a member of the human family, whose practice should reveal the fundamental right and duty to be humane in all judgments and actions of all humanity. So why don't you care about me?
I know you don't care about me. I'm just a nigga walking down your street. The brother did nothing wrong, but now his life is gone. And I know you don't care about me. Code of silence, you say, but your action is so loud and clear. The killers come free, stay by society, and I know you don't care about me.
Well, I'm not the alloy, killing for nothing, no crime he did not do. And just like him, there were others who suffer for what he didn't do. Living in a system, we are the victim, and that is so true.
Silence, you say. Yes, your actions speak so loud and clear. The outlaw's killers going free, paid by society. And I know you don't care about me.
Yo, Diggy, check this out. I'm gonna change how the same thing's been happening.
Over and over again. Over and over again.
When they say the Constitution's for the benefit of all,
it's all a lie, yeah. It's all a lie, yeah.
Tell me, when will this injustice end?
Tell me when.
Tell me when will we stop feeling pain?
Feeling pain.
Yeah.
Just the way we survive in the eyes of time.
You're to blame for all that being replaced.
Folks in America are still enslaved. And I had to listen to a few other people go ahead and say it, and I put it together, and Brother Drew X, Southern Region of the Black Panther Party, was going ahead and saying it, and I was like, yes. And I wasn't convinced of that because someone of my elders told me, you're not a slave. And I, now, man, that's bullshit. We are slaves. Every fucking thing we get, we do, we move, we got to ask for permission from them. Can't deny that. Can't do this, can't do that. Can't get a car, drive. Got to ask for permission. Do this. Everything you fucking buy is from somebody else. Now, one goddamn light company, gas company, no utilities, phone company, is totally on black folks. These are fucking essentials to keeping your life going. We don't have no black companies. So I don't think you'll get no breaks. But here in Illinois, I think he's across the globe, across the U.S. But I know he's here. Guy is in charge of one of the light companies here, the light company, I believe. It's black. He don't give a damn about your black ass. Because he was making some damn excuses about reasons why he needed to raise the rates. I remember hearing him say, there hasn't been a rate increase in 13 years. Look, let me explain something to you, because I got a business. And I see it like this, and I've been involved in several aspects of going ahead and having a business. Any goddamn time somebody go ahead and raise the price on their products or service, it's only for fucking greed. No other reason. No other reason. Because they want to make more money. They want to increase their bottom line. That's it. You look at the gas prices. Ain't no reason for the gas to be rising and going up other than greed. Nothing. Nothing. A whole lot of shit. A lot of shit ain't changed from the time they started. They knew they had problems with weather and areas that they're in and getting it out the ground. They knew they already had their fucking problems. New technology. None of that shit. It doesn't matter. It's just for fucking greed. That's it. Think about that. The rising prices is because people want to go ahead and get more fucking money. That's it. And black folks are stuck in this because they're not paying attention to what's going on around them. Oh, they just go there and start bitching and complaining and still pay that shit. And that shit fucking irks me. That's why I brought up the thing about the Korean store at the end, at the corner where my mom lives. Because people go here and they'll still buy that shit but come outside and fucking complain. Man, I'd be wanting to throw a goddamn brick at them fools. Man, wake up. They're going to treat you like this because they know your ass is going to come back maybe the next day or next week. You got the power in your hands when you got that money. I go ahead and I support the idea of buy black, but you need to go ahead and support those businesses who are black in the community who are also giving back and doing something to go ahead and create new businesses. Can't remember the basketball player's name, but he said it well. I think it was Mutombo. He's not playing in the NBA no more, but he said he's back home and he's in Africa. He's talking about people in the diamond mines. When the elevator breaks, they send a rope down to bring the brothers and sisters out. Brothers, mostly, because they don't have a lot of sisters in there. I'll explain that in a minute. But he sent a rope down. That's that new elevator. Bring your ass up. But remember, that go back. We don't have nobody, none of these goddamn rappers, none of these entertainers, anybody who made money off the hood that's black, they don't come back. They don't send that rope back to go ahead and try to bring somebody back up to safety, to have a better life, to live, none of that. And when I go ahead and hear that, I hear this shit, somebody told me, hey, you don't know what they're doing behind the scenes. Okay, yeah. I look at the shit Russell Simmons doing with his fucking credit card. Ain't none of that money coming back to the hood to go ahead and create no businesses. And right now, you had this holiday Thanksgiving, you know, day to massacre Indians. But that was a day where, hey, look, they all want to go ahead and take advantage of that. It's a PR thing, and it's also a way for them to go ahead and say, hey, look, they gave to charity organizations so they can go ahead and get put more money back in their pocket by getting these tax breaks and all that other shit. Christmas coming up, they're going to do the same shit here soon. We gave out some turkeys and all that shit. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. Stop playing. Stop fucking around with that shit. Baby dying out here. Young people out here doing fucking ridiculous shit. And the thing that kills me even more is that you people came from these areas. How the fuck can you turn your back on this shit? How can you really forget where you came from? It's sad shit. That's where we at. Sad. No show would be complete without going here and playing everybody's favorite house nigga, Jesse Lee Peterson.
No, I've often said that thank God for slavery because, you know, had not, then the blacks who were here would have been stuck in Africa. And you see how bad Africa, everybody and mama trying to get out of Africa and come to America. And so God has a way of looking out for folks, and he made it possible by way of slavery to get black folks into this country. But 100% American. Proud of it. I thank God that he saw fit for me to get here. Never mind that, you know, we were sold. I mean, my ancestor way back, way on the wind, were sold by Arabs and blacks to white folks and got us here. The white man came and brought us to the greatest country in the world. The ride over was pretty tough. But, you know, it's like riding on a crowded airplane and when you're not in first class. It's a tough ride. But you're happy when you get to your destination. And so the ride was tough over here. The pain for freedom was tough, you know, because in life, if you want to gain something, you got to lose something. No pain, no gain. So it was a tough. The pain was tough, all for the sake of freedom. So I thank God that he got me here, and to show my appreciation to the blacks who suffered as a result of coming here, and the Arabs and blacks who sold us to the white man for going there and getting us and bringing us here, I want to say thanks.
Welcome back to the Chef Rob Show here at Blog Talk Radio. Woo! You know, this is the reason why we got to stay on this message. I don't give a damn how many people hate you, how many people talk shit. But you got to stay on your message. You got to keep pushing this. The motherfuckers hate you and they're trying to destroy you, trying to kill you. But we got a whole lot of fucking enemies from within, like this bastard. Just every time I hear that shit, I be laughing my fucking head off. You know, and I keep on saying the same shit. This fucking 100% American. What the fuck does that mean? I really want to go ahead. I'm going to keep on trying to read. I sent an email to see if I can get him to come to the show, but, you know, I didn't get no response. And I really would love him to explain this. He's happy to be here and, you know, that happy to be. Oh my goodness, man! That clip just mind boggles me, man. Oh my goodness. Here, let me open this brother's line. Brother, you there? Hello? Oh, brother, you still look like you're there. Anyway, I'm finished saying this. The one thing that Jesse Lee Peterson said was that you'll be happy to get to your destination. Wow, I don't think a whole lot of, you know, brothers and sisters, you know, after going ahead and being kidnapped the way they were, corralled and housed in dark rooms for months on end, maybe longer, you never know, then thrown on the ship and getting seasickness, and than getting here and put into another place. More dungeons and chains and all that shit, and and then being sold. I mean, I don't think nobody would be happy to go here and get into this destination, going through all that shit there. That fucker didn't make no goddamn sense.
Look, can you hear me, brother?
Brother, I'm there. I'm here. I got you, man.
Oh.
Yeah, man.
I didn't know if you was hearing me or not, man.
Yeah, man. I didn't know what's going on with you, boy. I'm telling you.
I'm here, man. I was going to say, you know, that these devils, you know, they don't want you to know that you're a slave. Because you're not effective. You're more of an effective slave if you don't know that you're a slave. Just like in Egypt. Them Egyptians had them Negroes in Egypt. You understand?
Yeah.
Because look at what they're building, ignorantly not knowing that they're slaves.
But you know something, man? The thing that you got to look at with this is that, you know, they're controlling the information.
Yeah.
Okay, so they keep bombarding you with all this garbage and stuff, you know, putting, and so many of our people got blinders on, you know, it's hard for them to determine what the truth is because they can't go ahead and see behind that, you know, beyond that tunnel vision. But they don't go ahead and realize that, hey, look, you know, you don't go ahead and know that your neighbor's getting fucked over. So pretty soon they're going to come and get you. You know, they see it, but they come in and hiding it, and they running away from it. Do you see that, man?
Yeah, of course. But what can I say? I don't think that there's going to be, you know, I don't think that there's going to be this. They're trying to make us get mad, you know, as people. You see what I'm going to say? They're trying to show a lot of aggravating stuff in the news. But what I think it is when we uprise, if there was a little race war, right, all they're going to do is bring more police on the streets after that. They'll lock it down and bring more police on the streets after that.
Wait. You know what? You know, and okay, so you bring up this thing with race war. I don't think black people over here are going to go ahead and make out, because you got a whole lot of people that's going to go ahead, a whole lot of black people are going to go ahead and put their uniform on and fight against you.
Exactly. I mean, again, we as black folk can't do that because most of our numbers lies in Africa. You know, we're outnumbered. We're behind enemy lines.
Yeah, and you got, and like I tried to say this before, you know, you got a lot of brothers and sisters in Africa, because I just came across a sister who sent me an email today where she works. Her shop was robbed, right? And these niggas over there, I don't give a fuck about saying it, these niggas over there,
yeah,
had partnered up with some Indian cats. And because she works in a little shop, you know, they also go ahead and transfer money. The Indian guy blew some dust in her face and knocked her out a little bit, and they just robbed the place. These black guys had partnered up with these Indian cats to go and do stuff. Now I know over here in the U.S., you might go ahead and go through it over there in the U.K., but them Indian cats over here ain't pulling none of that shit over here. And they don't them Indian cats over here don't be going ahead and pulling a lot of shit over here. And they don't go up against a lot of us over here. They don't be fucking around like that. They get crushed.
I say that
with 100% accuracy in all my heart. They don't come up against us over here. They don't fuck with us like that.
Well, the only area that I know that they come up against us, right? But I know in London and in all the other areas, the only area that I've known that they try to come up against the blacks is in Birmingham. That's the only place you're gonna see Indians who will war niggas, that will war us. But in London, where I am, they own all the shops. There's a majority of them around here in London, you know. They would never try that around here. They'll get crushed as well. But I mean, in Birmingham, they're about it. They're on it hard. They wanna war black people, because the other day a black guy, he had beef with an Asian guy, right? And he must have ran over the Asian guy and his brother, the black guy. And that was a race beef. That was a beef, basically, crew beef between blacks and Asians. And the father said, you know, he don't want no more trouble, you know, because they didn't want it to escalate, the whole argument to escalate, you know. But I understand what you're saying. I mean, in India, Africa, I mean, those guys sound like Moors. You know, like how the Moors were back in the day, the Indians and the black, or the Arabs and the black, united together and getting at people, you know. But that's what I say to folks, you know.
But look, the brother got together with an Indian guy to go ahead and to knock out this sister who's working there, working to go ahead and support her family, you know, to help support her family, and the brother gets with this Indian guy to go ahead and rob her to make her look bad.
Well, is she originally from America, right?
No. This happened in Kenya. I'm not talking about here. No.
I said, brother, did she come from America and start her life?
No.
She's always been born and bred. Born and bred in Kenya, right?
Right.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, this is why I'm saying to black folk, especially for us to go out there, we got to make sure that we can help them in their position, or this is what's going to happen to us. You know? This is what's going to happen. That's what I say to folk, you know. I'm at a show about Africa. And I'm saying, well, you know, it's not that I'm trying to stop people from going to Africa. But I'm saying you can't go out there to look to die in the sun. You got to be prepared.
Let me say this. I mean, it has to be a thing where we're all on the same page, and then we can go to Africa.
That's right.
And what I noticed that when I was over there, a lot of the things that influence them to go ahead and motivate them to do some shit come from outside. Okay, even when you look at a lot of the movements that have been over there, a lot of that stuff, the influence came from with outside. People who were maybe born in Africa, but once they traveled outside and came back, the majority of them came back and brought a whole new different ball game there. So especially with today, when you got social media, YouTube and a few others, they go ahead and they see some shit that's going on. But the thing that I don't like is that the influences that are getting to them now, and the thing that they're trying to emulate and copy now, is all the negative shit.
You got to understand again, you know, brother. A lot of those the our folk in Africa, they're religiousized. They're into witches. They're into all some sort of spirituality or the devil's religion. They're into some sort of devil spirituality or devil religions, you know? They're not dealing with nothing from the past. It's like they've even forgotten, and they're on the motherland. The majority of them are forgotten. They're into Catholicism, Christianism.
Wait. I won't say, no. You can't say they forgot. You can't say they forgot. It's like this. When you go ahead and you look at it going from black to brown to yellow to white, that it's been a process. And when I go ahead and I see that, hey, look, another individual I know there who's always going ahead and trying to go ahead and tell me that I'm wrong about my views about religion, you know, and I'm trying to go ahead and tell him, hey, look, you know, where a lot of that influences came from where. And he was getting, when he told me that, hey, look, he slipped and told me that it was some missionaries from here who was teaching him from the U.S.,
yeah, of course. But hey, what I was gonna say, and that's Red Cross and all them people.
And the Red Cross, you know, all them people ain't coming over there. You know, I already told people, hey, when the Red Cross go ahead and collect $1.95 of that money, 95, 94 cents of that is going toward administrative costs, which means they go ahead and paying themselves. And 5%.
That's why I don't give to charity. And sometimes these guys, they come to me. You know, when I was younger, I used to give to charity. And then I had to say to myself, I had to exonerate myself from giving money to charity, because I'm one of those, we're the children of the taken out of the motherland. And if anything, they owe us some money, Africa, for letting us get taken like that.
I'm glad you brought that up, because there's been a few apologies as of late within the last 5 years, and a few more countries, especially on the west coast of Africa, have been saying, hey, look, you come on over here, we got land for you. That's been another reason why a lot of people have been pushing to go to Africa. But
yeah, but they only want us to come over there because they're broke.
Yeah,
they're in the shit. That's why they want us over there. They're in the crapper. I mean, if they had a government, man, that is for us, right, and ate one of them, the devil's people, minions, then yeah. You know, because the most corruption, some of the, not saying that the most corruption, you know, because Europe and America are more corrupt. But I mean, a lot, the corruption that's going on in them countries, it's ridiculous, because you've got one man, you've got so many billionaires, black billionaires in Nigeria, like maybe 2%, say 2% of the wealth in Nigeria is with billionaires. Like the 2% control, the 0.2% control all the wealth in Nigeria, and the rest of the people are living in shit. I mean, Europe send the rubbish there to get like old toasters, old microwaves, rubbish. They get sent over to Nigeria. If you watch the Nigeria Delta on the TV, you can even type in a program called Welcome to Lagos.
Yeah, oh, YouTube. I saw all that, man. I saw something else where it was some computers being dumped off, just literally dumped off, just dropped off. And some of these systems, I never really knew this. As much as I've gone ahead, but it's been a while since I bought a brand new computer. I really rebuilt or added to what I had.
Yes, they go to
But
Ghana.
I didn't know that they had stuff there. They had like what is it called? Like from the like when you get the fucking waves from the microwave, you know. Oh, I can't remember right now. But they have low grade. It's not nuclear shit, but it's that low grade stuff there. I can't remember right now. My mind's blank. But they were sending stuff that was actually it was toxic to a point, and they keep on sending it. And they just dump it off. And what I noticed was also in India. In India, they were accepting all these ships with all that still had lots of oil and sludge and stuff in them. And it was some countries on the west coast of Africa. They were also said, hey, we can go ahead and accept them for less. So these ships that were no good, you know, dump off your toxic shit over here and we'll take care of it. But yeah, the thing I saw about Nigeria, these cats were going ahead and breaking down these systems and the stuff that's in there, low-grade radiation.
Yes.
Low-grade radiation is what they were going ahead and getting from them goddamn computers.
What it is, brother, they send the computers to the Ghana. Now, what it is that they're using these people as recyclers. These are recyclers. What they do is they take, like, for example, they send, like, the old toasters, the old microwaves to Nigeria. What the Nigerians do is they sift through the old circuits and pull out the copper.
Right.
They can get, like, a kilogram of copper. The devil might give them, the higher devils who, you know, these devils go there and offer them like maybe 50p, yeah, or 50 or a dollar for a pound for a kilogram of this wire, which they've went through. They will go through all these old TVs, pull out the copper, you know, and then give it back to them so that the companies can use it. Right.
Hold on. Let me tell you what I saw. Because
they do that with computers as well.
Yeah, the computer. Let me tell you what I saw. I mean, I saw like mounds of them. I mean, saw mounds. I seen this documentary, and also I researched and I saw some pictures. And I was like, wow. Just truckloads of them, and they won't get. Some of them may not have what they're looking for. So they did a whole day too. And these guys are fighting over this shit and going through all this stuff, and the low doses of radiation that they're getting, man, is affecting them.
Yeah, because they have to burn through certain parts just to get the wire out so they can sell it. Like, they do the same thing in Ghana with the computers. There's certain things that they have to burn through to get to the parts that the devils want so that they can give it back to, like, IBM, Dell, and other computer companies. Do you see what I'm trying to say, my brother?
Oh, I know. Because, I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Because
so
when
instead of that could have been a job for us. What I'm saying is that could have been a job for us, our people. Do you see what I'm trying to say? But they would have sent that out. And if they gave that as a job for us, they would have had to give us the equipment, right, to protect us from the harmful fumes of these things. That's why they send it out there, because it's cheaper, and all they have to do is throw them a little quick dollar, and they've got a kilogram of copper, which they'll go and put in other wires, in other electrical appliances that they make. Do you see what I'm trying to say, Baba?
I know what you mean.
It's very
smart
what these devils are trying to put up.
I seen something years ago where the U.S. was trying to, and I think they have done it, they started to do it. The U.S. is dumping their nuclear waste in Africa for like $3, $4, $5 a ton.
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, this is another thing where, hey, look, we need to fucking pay attention to it. You know, these bastards, they want to kill us, and we got these fucking niggas that go ahead, they want to kill us.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying to black folk. Like, for me, now, if I know that I'm going to Africa, right, I'm going to Ghana, the first thing I want to do, right, is I know that I may not be able to stop them from sending the computers out there, right? And that's, people wonder why Ghanaians and Africans are so big on cybercrime, because when I checked it, when you throw away your computer, like you're in America, you throw away your computer, Europe, when you throw away your computer, that computer goes to Africa. Some people don't wipe their details off their computers. You see what I'm trying to say, brother?
Oh, I know a lot
about
it.
Your details, your pictures, everything's still on the computer. And these people look for it. And that's how they start doing their cybercrime. That's why they tend to do a lot of cybercrime. Because that's what they, you know, that they see your details and then they start buying online. You see what I'm saying? So I'm saying that if I went to live in Ghana or Nigeria, right, the first thing I'm going to do is try and get more money for these things. Or at least try and stop all this. I mean, the pollution in the Niger Delta is sickening.
Well, if you get them computers, you get that hard drive, you can just leave the rest of that shit alone, because you probably got a whole lot of people's information. You just need to get that hard drive. Yeah.
That's what they do. That's exactly what they do.
But I see these cats picking through them and going ahead and trying to pull out every little part and you know, that's what I'm saying. This guy, I didn't know they had these low-grade, low doses of radiation that you can go here and be associated with.
Well, what's causing the radiation especially is the fact that these people have to burn through parts just to get what they want to get, like the material that they're getting paid for.
Mm.
They have to burn through parts. And the devil said that they're not allowed to do the burning in the day. They've got to do it in the night. You know, some of these people have got their families living basically in a garbage drain. I mean, the whole place is full of garbage. They're cooking food around this. They got their kids living in this, you know. And the way they try to market that program, Welcome to Lagos, it's like, I shouldn't feel safe for them I felt like you're trying to tell me that because they're living in shit and they seem to be happy, right, that I should be happy with what I've got, you know, because I see through the shit what they're trying to do. They're trying to show me, look at them, trying to play little, you know, the idiot music, like to say that these guys are, you'd think the guys are entrepreneur, you know, these guys are trying to make something out of shit, you know, because the guy's getting all happy because he's got a lot of copper today, or he found the toaster and he's happy, it still works. He's going and bringing that back. He found a little teddy bear, an old teddy bear, and he went and gave it to his child. He cleaned it up and gave it to his child. You know.
Somebody was saying it a little while back, and they were saying how the Japanese, with the assistance of the U.S., you know, they got on top. But the U.S. was sending them a lot of garbage, electronics, and technology. But what they started doing was they started breaking it down and started going ahead and saying, hey, look, let's make some money off of this, but we want to also go ahead and help each other. The thing that I'm not seeing with the Nigerians is I'm seeing just what I see here. It's that nigga greed. It's me, it's me, it's me. Fuck you. I'm going to step on your ass, and I'm going to crush anybody that look like me to go ahead and make it. But at the same time, these goddamn fuckers over there are going ahead and accept it. Who knows who treat them like shit.
No doubt, bro. I mean, these guys are there at this garbage joint from fighting over rubbish, basically.
That's
fighting over old stuff, old shit.
But I'm
you
saying.
Know.
I was saying, they ain't trying to go ahead, hey, look, let's go ahead and do this as a team, work together.
They could have hustled the devil for more money. Now, if I went out there and I was amongst those men, I would say, look, do you know how much money they get for all this? Like, you couldn't put, if you put me in a place like Congo, again, another place where they're raping our people, especially for those parts like coltan and the other parts that go in mobile phones, right?
Right.
And, you know, now the rebels, Dell and T-Mobile, mobile phone company, and Dell Computers are financing rebels to go and get those parts, forcing people to go out and get those raw materials, you know. And they're only giving, for a whole bag full of this stone that goes in the mobile phones, right, they're giving them like £70. And now,
I've seen some left.
Amongst, for a sack full of coltan, which may weigh about 10 kilograms.
Hold on, I think that what you said about the £70, what is that about? About $160?
Yes, yes.
So I've seen these guys, man, go ahead and do that shit for less, and the bag is like, I mean, you can have, you look like you can have two humans in this fucking bag.
That's
what
I'm saying. And that is about, remember now, they selling phones, if it be a good phone, they're selling phones for $100 a pop, £100 a pop. So I was thinking, saying, if I was out there, I'd be telling them, look, devil, you better give me more money. You know, every week I want double or triple.
You know what, man? Look, it was the same thing I saw when I was looking. Now, I'm just basically going off what I saw on TV. So I really need to go ahead and get in touch with some people to go ahead and make sure to confirm. But from what I saw, man, I saw these cats, man, going ahead and pulling these. I'm talking about the diamonds. I saw guys pulling stuff off the ground, man, and fucking getting crumbs. And they turned back. I saw where the guy who pulled a nice black rock diamond out the ground and sold it for like $15. I think it was like $25. And then they sold it on the market for like $1,500.
Of course. Of course. That's how they're doing it. And you know, that's the wickedest thing, you know. And these people, like in Congo, I can speak for, you got people, families where their kids have to go out to work with them. So, you know, you got a family of four, and they have to make their kids come out and look for these stones with them just to have food to eat. And they're giving them peanuts for this stuff, which they know fully well they're going out and making millions off this.
Look, man, look, here's another one. The chocolate gang and the chocolate, you know, they it's not the families going out there. It's individuals that's in their family that's selling their kids, and then you got other people going out kidnapping kids and making them work on these places to go ahead and get the chocolate, that thing that they're making chocolate with, wherever the chocolate comes from. But I know what, you know, I know that they're going ahead and killing these kids and kidnapping these kids. And they've been doing it for a long time. And then you got some of these agencies. They're supposed to be speaking up for, you know, the kids there, but they ain't doing shit. They're just going ahead and doing that, going ahead and mentioning it to get more money, but they're really not trying to stop it. See, they're talking about it. They'll talk at the problem to try to get money, but they ain't going to go ahead and do nothing about the problem. So it's too many individuals making money. Money is a thing. Greed is a thing. So,
and as I say, it's these house niggas, because they're like the glue that keeps the, or they're the butter inside the bread that keeps everything together, you know?
Right. Right.
You know, and that's why I say, you know, we all know who the devil is, but it's these house niggas now that's, I mean, I'm saying the house niggas are the ones who got us in the situation that we're in now. Because there's no way the devil could have come in Africa and do what he's doing if it weren't for those damn dirty moors. You understand? They're the ones who gave them the map. They're the ones who told them what people to take out of Africa as well. They weren't going for anyone in Africa. That's a myth. They were. The family have to understand this. When they went into Africa, they were looking for certain people. They weren't looking for any and anybody. That's why it was so easy for the Ashanti to sell us out for guns and other tribes to sell us out. You understand? Because they went for certain.
The Ashanti people, a lot of them started to. That was another group that who started to apologize, and they said, "Hey, we're gonna open it up for those who were taken from Africa."
These niggas are some of the biggest tribal house niggas of all time, and some people we're meant to look at them and respect them, but these people are some of the biggest house niggas of all time. Some of the biggest, and you know, they still got their ass whooped as well, because when the Queen of England wanted the golden stool. You know, and they tried to even lie and say that they switched it. They switched what? The Queen wants that golden stool. They took the golden stool and the golden broom. They took everything. But they say that they did a switcheroo. They only said that so that they didn't lose no respect amongst their people in Africa. Do you understand? Because Ashanti, if you look at Ashanti now, they've got a load of guns. All them old guns from back in the day, they got them guns. That they swapped, they sold us out for the people. But, you know, we got to understand, brother, we're not those people. That's why they don't look like us. I mean, there's some Africans who look like us, and they didn't get caught up. They didn't get caught, you know. But at the end of the day, when the Moors went up in, gave them the plans and the routes, the Moors identified what Negroes to take, you know. If you look at us and you look at if you look at the Caribbeans and Americans, right, they look the same. We all look like brothers. You can't really tell if someone from America is from the islands or someone from the islands is from America, you know.
Like until they open their mouth.
Until they open their mouth. But when you're dealing with the Africans now, you can always tell, you know, an African. Now, some people say it's down to the race mixing, which is a lie. Because a lot of those Africans out there are mixed with Arab and other people, you know, and they've got even mix up with the devil as well out there, and they still look how they look. It's not, they went out there purposely looking for certain Negroes, you understand? Certain head shapes, certain nose shapes, features that they were looking for. They didn't go out there looking for any and anyone, you understand? Because look at Africa now, they ain't done nothing since we've left. If we were still in Africa now, Africa wouldn't be the way they are now.
Well, you can say that, but what got you to where you are is because you're outside Africa right now and you see what's going on. So if you were inside, if you were there in Africa right now, you'd probably be going along with them because that's all you would know. But we see shit from the outside, and because we in the belly of the beast, so to speak.
No, my brother, I'm saying there's some Africans out there who never got caught on the boat, but if they got seen, they would have got taken in, that got away.
I know that.
And you can look at some Africans and you say, right, he looks like he's from the islands, or he looked like he's from America, but he ain't. You know, but he just didn't get taken. So I'm trying to say that there's some Africans that never got taken, but I'm saying the majority of us, right, that they took from the islands, right, from Africa, it was a planned thing. They knew who to take because of the Moors. They wanted the pyramid builders, because when the Arabs came in and invaded Egypt, the pyramid builders ran out, like into Angola and West Africa. So it was small tribes of us when the Arabs took over, invaded Egypt, and finally took over in like the 4th, 5th century, between the 4th and 5th century. You understand? So what I'm saying is that they went out there to take certain of us. And like I said, they knew who to take because the Moors knew who to take. The Moors knew who they need to take. It's not anyone that they were looking to take. Not these Africans. Look at them, man. You guys now, right, in America have tried to do things, right? The Africans have never tried to do anything. I mean, Lumumba tried to do something, but they're always swayed with money, yeah? And they've not tried to build anything. They've not tried to stand up and fight or anything, right? We've been behind enemy lines and fighting, rioting, you know, we've built things, like you guys have built things in America, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Rockwood. You like had up the whole of Harlem, you know. Look at Atlanta now, even though it's Faglanta, but I mean, you lot are doing well out there. Africa, they're not doing nothing. It's only these rich, corrupt billionaires that you see with money.
Right, right. Hold on, hold on. You know, we got, there's some individuals here who have, who are trying stuff, and there's people that's trying to do stuff now. But like I said, if we don't get control of the media message, the message that's putting out there about us, the information, we don't control the information, nobody knows. And this is another reason why a lot of these things get shut down over here, because they don't go ahead and get on top of their message first. They don't go ahead, they got something they want to work on, a project, they go ahead and help. But I think before they go ahead and get started, they should have really tried to go ahead and get on top of the media message to go ahead and drum up support, because they can get shut down easily. It's like if you can't go ahead and send nobody, you know, you let anybody know that you in distress and you need help, ain't nobody going to hear you. And a lot of us are going ahead and trying to create these groups, and they don't have nothing in place to go ahead and say, hey, look, I need help, you know, this and that, you know, I need support. You know, they don't have no way to set up the balloon to let nobody know that you got problems. So they go ahead and they pretty much die. And it's a lot of people out here trying to do some good stuff, but, you know, they don't put the message out here enough. They don't let nobody know that they're there.
How do you mean? You mean some of the guys who are trying to do something, you're saying?
The guys who are really, some of the people who are trying to do something, even the ones who are trying to do something, they're on some bullshit. And they fall in the same category that they're not putting that message out there good enough, well enough. They're not putting information out there. They're not going ahead and taking to the streets like they should.
Well, those ones are house niggas. Those ones are trying to make money in their pocket. You know, those ones are the ones who are trying to hustle our people. Like, you got the Phil Valentines, the Bobby Hymits, the Delbert Blairs, yeah? The Malik Zulu Shabazzes, you know? These guys are just hustlers, trying to hustle our people. The Jelly Belly Sharpton, you know, the Louis, you know, these guys want to do another Million Man March because he want to make some more money.
Oh, man.
And I'm hearing about a Million Sister March, that this is a straight hustle. You know,
yeah.
Well, you got to understand, anyone that you see trying to do something and they're on telly, I mean, if you really want to do something good, you ain't going to get put on TV. There's no way you can do it by putting it out on TV and stuff like that. The devil's going to shut it down. Or no one's going to want to know about that unless you're trying to hustle the people. Simple as that. And like I said, that is why I said our problem is now in this day and age is these house niggas. Because they're the ones who are keeping us in this thing. It's like Obama. Obama's only there so that we can keep on voting, so we can believe in the system. Because they ran out of ideas when they had Bush. They knew they took the piss with Bush when he did the rigging. You see what I'm trying to say, brother? So they wanted the people them to believe in the election, because I've got a 10-man theory. Now, if I tell you this 10-man theory now, I'm going to say this to you, brother. Now, me and you, we want to control. We there's 12 of us, right? And me and you say, proclaim that we want to be leader. Okay. And we're going to war. Now, we say we're going to take a vote. Everyone takes a vote to vote, see who's voting, me and you. Three of the guys vote for you. Two of the guys vote for me. The other five don't even vote. Now, legitimately, you have won the vote, because you had three votes to my two. But the other five never vote. What is the first thing you're going to do?
Well, since I won, I mean, I just do what I need to do.
No. You got to see it on a serious level. You've got five guys who have not voted.
I mean, I, you know what?
We're going to go to war, and then two of the guys voted for me.
Okay, hold on.
You've only got five guys
who didn't vote. You know, from one thing, I go ahead and say, well, look at you fuckers. Y'all going to have to go because you don't want to get involved, and I don't need that kind of shit, because it's like they don't give a damn.
Well, I mean, say you're stuck with them. This is a life and death situation. They're still up for fighting.
I ain't stuck with shit.
What I would do is now I would have to ask these other five, what is it they want for them to follow me? What is it? And the other two, three that vote, the other two that voted for you, I'm going to switch the reverse. I would have to ask them, what is it that you want?
We're going to war soon.
What is it?
Replace them five, because you know you can't handle fuckers like that.
No, but you're stuck. This is what I'm trying to say. The devil. This is what I'm going to say. You see, the devil in poor third world countries. What the devil does, and I can speak for Jamaica, and I can speak for a majority of Africa. The people are so poor; they're not even interested in voting because they know nothing ain't going to change the situation that they're in. So what they do in places like Jamaica is get the local don to round up the votes. They give the dons guns, food, money for maybe 2 weeks until while the election's going on, before to the maybe a month to the build up of the elections. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Because the people are interested in voting, because the people are so poor, things are getting worse and worse. They're not interested in voting. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Imagine.
Oh yeah, yeah, I get it now. Yeah, because
a lot
of they don't have an interest in it because they don't see how it's gonna really affect them because their life's still gonna be shit.
Yeah, you don't have, like, for me to go to the battlefield, right, with these other five, right, that's detrimental to me because I'm going to always be looking over my shoulder. I know these guys ain't really got my back. You see what I'm trying to say? Even though they're going to still follow me because it's a life and death situation for them. You can tell them to go away, but you've got the same objective. Do you see what I'm trying to say? It's like if there was a race war. There's 10, you got to fight 10 white men, 10 Asian men. You need your 10 black men behind you. But like I said, there's 2 of them, 3 of them voted for you, 2 of them voted for me, and the other 5 don't even believe in it. They never even voted. So obviously you're going to have to try and reason with. This is why I said tell people we're giving them power when we vote. Because if we hold back our vote, right, they would have to now come with a proper plan. Because they would have to come with let up on some of their ways, their bad ways to us. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Because they need our vote. Because they will see it as though we're not going to cooperate with their team. The way, if I was a president of a country and 40%, 60% of the nation, that's more than half of the nation, eight didn't even vote. Yeah, that means this is a lawless country. I know to myself, they don't care about law. I'm going to make my laws, but 60% of the country don't give a shit. They never even voted. So how am I going to get them to really follow my laws if the majority of the country never voted? You see what I'm saying? When you're dealing with millions of people, you're going to have to come correct.
A friend of mine broke it down a little bit better about laws. Yeah. Laws don't really mean shit.
Well, of course.
Unless you got more firepower, more guns to go ahead and beat up the laws.
Well, of course. But this is what I'm trying to say, the power of the vote. And the devil knows. Some of these New York cats were saying, well, we're doing a disservice when we don't vote and stuff like that. But I'm saying we're giving them power when we vote. Because that, therefore, for me to vote, right, that means you're going to get me to complain. I'm going to start complaining. And that means I'm prepared to now follow the shitstorm. You see what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
I do what I like. Well, not in the sense illegal things, but I do what I like because at the end of the day, I didn't vote for these people. I don't get mad when they're in power because I know it's going to be the same old shit. You know, anyway. So I don't... my mind is... My heart is not in to what they're into, you know. When they go to war, I know I still pay taxes. But I'm not support. I know to myself, even when a man wants to say, well, you still support them because you pay taxes. That's bullshit. I never voted for these people. You voted for them. You see what I'm trying to say? You support this shit. And like I say, a lot of our black people, we've got emotional ties to things of this world and in these systems, you know. Like a lot of people want this system to carry on the way it's going. And for me, it has to get bad before it gets better for our people, you know. You know, for us to come out like phoenixes, you know, we have to, or diamonds. We gotta feel more pain. We gotta be crushed, totally again, all over again. It's like slavery. Look what it brought out of you guys. You got built, like Tulsa, Oklahoma was the oil capital of the world. And that was just coming out of slavery, 30, 40 years out of slavery, you know? And that's what you lot produced. New York, Rockwood, you know? But these beasts, they had to shut it down. And another thing, you know, when we came over to UK, the devil already saw how you did your thing over in America. So they wouldn't have let us. They would never let us do such a thing around it. You see what I'm trying to say? Because the devil used you lot, as you know, you lot are used as experiments. You know, like South Africa's another experimental place. Because that place there, you know, when they talk about you're going to have to go everywhere with your card and produce documents everywhere you go. I mean, that was going on in South Africa since the 60s. You've always had to produce your papers and prove that you're a citizen and stuff like that. You see what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
They use these, so they see how this pans out on them, and then they bring it over to England or America, and same way you lot get things that we get, and things that we get, you lot get, because we had cameras on our streets.
Yeah, I was bringing that up. Because they've been looking at that model in the UK over here for years, for a long time, and they couldn't wait to put that shit in place.
Of course. They couldn't wait,
and man, you should see what these, it's some flashing blue lights sometimes, a little box, man, and it's all in these areas, these so-called high crime areas. I just feel that, hey, look, over here, it's just a waste of money. I mean,
it don't stop crime. It doesn't even stop crime. Crime's actually worse.
Yeah,
no one gives a shit about these things.
And they were told, hey, look, you know, you're going to put the cameras on the street. What people just going to move to the next block. It's just wasting money. So, you know, all that money they put into this stuff, why didn't you go ahead and create some stuff, put some stuff in place, go ahead and create entrepreneurs? I want to do that.
People get killed on camera, right? And
yeah.
You think the police would come out instantly, you know? They've got so many cameras, they ain't even got enough people to surveil the whole fucking thing. Crazy shit. It's a waste of money, absolute waste of money, bro. I mean, but obviously they don't care about that. You know, it's meant to be a deterrent still. That's all it is there for, to be a deterrent. So, they you know, they try these things out and they want to see what, basically, they just use it to watch, you know. The only time they use the CCTV is if you've done a crime, and I heard that they delete it every 48 hours anyway. The footage, because, you know, they can't keep on holding so much footage anyway. You know, but I think it's just there to make you know you're being, get used to being watched. Because I heard that they're looking, what they're doing in some families in Britain, right? When they're having children, right? Some families, if they don't trust you, they're putting cameras in their house to watch how they father their children and how they, if they're not abusing their kids. So they put a camera in every room in their house. That's what
crazy.
They want to do, really. That's what really what they want to do. That's why they got them programs like Big Brother.
Oh.
To get you used to it. Do you see?
That's fucking crazy, man.
See, that is just trying to build you up for something worse. And that's what they've got in England. I think 10,000 families in Britain have got cameras in their house. Right, like, you know, like if they think that they've heard something about abuse, what they do is they put a camera in every room in their house and watch how they deal with their children.
Mm.
And then they might have to have it for like a year. And you know they're going to look at it. You know that that's going to be in every house in the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're trying to roll. This is why they got the cameras on the streets. It's just to build you up for something worse. Get you used to the cameras on the streets. You'll start doing your crime and thinking, fuck the cameras, no one ain't watching. And then soon they'll start putting them in your house.
That's correct, man. Wow.
That's what these beasts are trying to do. Huh?
My time is up.
Okay, bro.
I'm going to go ahead and end this here, man. It was great talking to you, man.
Oh, yeah, brother, come to mine tomorrow, man. We got to show niggas to avoid.
What time is it, man? Put it out there.
The same time as today.
Okay.
11:30 our time. So that, what time is it in your place now?
Right now?
Mm.
It's 10.
So if it's 10 now, yeah, that'll be about 10, 4 here, so 10. Yeah, that would be about 5:30 your time if you're not doing anything.
I kind of got some business to take care of. I might not be able to make it, but I'll do my best.
Okay, will you got a show tomorrow?
Now I gotta go ahead and what we say, make the donuts. I gotta go ahead and make a few dollars tomorrow.
Okay then, my brother. Well, you should listen to Eric's show, because that was a very good. It was a very. If you listen to Eric's last show, boy, that was one of the best.
I couldn't make it, man. I was kind of busy today.
Well, I think you should dig through the archives, because that was a great show.
Get a chance, I'll check it out. Maybe I'll check it out here real soon, man.
You should check that out. The last, the one on Friday. Was it Friday or Thursday? Yeah, Thursday. I'll see you later,
hey,
though, my brother.
Hello, brother.
Hi, Lisa. All
right, brother. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Lisa, brother. All right,
please. All right. That's the Poverty Supreme. Glad he called in. Thanks for calling, listening to the show. Chef Rob signing out.
Niggas come in for murder and change in the pimping clothes. Hit the streets to make some quick change. Niggas change their hair from black to red to blonde. And hope like hell their looks will change. Niggas kill other niggas just because one didn't receive the correct change. Niggas change from men to women, from women to men. Niggas change, change, change. You hear niggas say, things are changing, things are changing. Yeah, things are changing. Nigga things into black nigga things. Black nigga things that go through all kinds of changes. The change in the day that makes them rap and rave. Black power, and the change that comes over them at night as they sigh and moan. High five, ooh, high five. Niggas always going through bullshit change. But when it comes for real change, niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are actors. Niggas are actors. Niggas act like they're in a hurry to catch the first act of a great white host. Niggas start to act like Malcolm. And when a white man doesn't react toward them like he did Malcolm, niggas want to act violently. Niggas act so cool and slick, causing white people to say, what makes you niggas act like that? Niggas act like you ain't never seen nobody act before. But when it comes to acting out revolution, niggas say,
I can't dig them actions.
Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are very untogether people. Niggas talk about getting high and riding around in L's. Niggas to get high and ride to hell. Niggas talk about pimping, pimping that, pimping what? Pimping yours, pimping mine. Just to be pimping is a hell of a line. Niggas are very untogether people. Niggas talk about the mind, talk about my mind stronger than yours. I got that bitch's mind upside. Niggas don't know a damn thing about the mind, but they'd be right. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas fuck. Niggas fuck, fuck, fuck. Niggas love the word fuck. They've been there so fucking cute. They fuck you around. The first thing they say when they're mad is fuck it. You play a little too much for them. They say fuck you. When it's time to TTB, niggas are somewhere fucking trying to be nice to them. They fuck over you. Niggas don't realize while they're doing all this fucking, they're getting fucked around. But when they do realize, it's too late. So niggas just get fucked up. Niggas talk about fucking, fucking that, fucking this, fucking yours, fucking monsters. Not knowing what they're fucking for. Ain't fucking for love and appreciation. Just fucking to be fucking. Niggas fuck white thighs, black thighs, yellow thighs, brown thighs. Niggas fuck ankles when they went out of size. Niggas fuck Sally, Linda, and Sue. And if you don't watch out, niggas will fuck you. Niggas will fuck fuck if it could be fuck. But when it comes to fucking for revolutionary causes, niggas say fuck revolution. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are players. Niggas are players, are players. Niggas play football, baseball, and basketball while the white man is cutting off their balls. When the niggas play ain't tight enough to play with some black thighs, niggas play with white thighs to see if they still have some play left. And when ain't no white thighs to play with, niggas play with themselves. Niggas tell you they're ready to be liberated, but when you say, let's go take our liberation, niggas reply, I was just playing. Niggas are playing with revolution and losing. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas do a lot of shooting. Niggas do a lot of shooting. Niggas shoot off at the mouth. Niggas shoot blue. Niggas shoot traps. Niggas cut around the corners and shoot down the street. Niggas shoot sharp branches at white women. Niggas shoot dope into the arm. Niggas shoot guns and rifles on New Year's Eve. A new year, the threat is coming in. The white police would do more shooting at them. Where are niggas when the revolution needs some shots? Yeah, you know, niggas are somewhere shooting this shit. Niggas are scared of revolution.
our mothers. Niggas love to see Clark Gable make love to Marilyn Monroe. Niggas love to see Taj and fuck over natives. Niggas love to hear an old man yell, high on silver. Niggas love commercials. Niggas love commercials. Oh, how niggas love commercials. You can take niggas out of the country, but you can't take the country out of niggas. Niggas are lovers, are lovers, are lovers. Niggas love to hear Malcolm rap, but they didn't love Malcolm. Niggas love everything but themselves. But I'm a lover too. Yep, I'm a lover too. I love niggas, I love niggas, I love niggas. Because niggas are me, and I should only love that which is me. I love to see niggas go through changes, love to see niggas act, love to see niggas make them plays and shoot the shit. But there's one thing about niggas I do not love. Niggas are scared of revolution.